Hey listeners, this is Charlotte from The Pippin Theory, and this is the Five Creative Podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Stuart Thompson, photography. We met Stuart in the first episode and we spoke a wee bit about his involvement in Five Creative and the startup of it. Today we're going to be speaking more about his photography business, go into a bit of his education and what really inspired him to go into photography. He's a very intellectual man on the subject of photography. So if you like the technicalities of cameras and how the exposure triangle work, then you'll really enjoy this episode. Not only does he have a wealth of intelligence and research, we get to hear some really fun stories about basically how he pushed every boundary he could when he was in college to basically get the best photos he could in the most interesting ways I've heard of. Last thing, of course, don't forget to follow Five Creative on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And for the podcast, don't forget to follow it on Anchor for any updates. So we'll get on with the show and I hope you enjoy it.
Stuart, I'm a commercial photographer in Fife, based in Fife.
A commercial photographer?
Commercial photographer,
that,
yeah.
Sounds even fancier than just a photographer.
It just means I work for businesses, basically. It's my preferred client as a business.
What sort of businesses?
Just anything, really. I have done events in the past, but my main sort of focus is product photography.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because products don't move and they don't complain, whereas people move and they complain.
Fair enough.
So
was it easier to move around as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes more difficult to do product photography than it is to do a portrait, sometimes. Because you've got to be a lot more precise with the light, and a lot of products will get reflections, that sort of thing, which you've got to kind of deal with, because a reflection isn't very good on a product shot, because it looks a bit terrible. So you've got to kind of manage that, and it's like really precise when you're moving things about sometimes. But it's a bit of a challenge, so that's why I like it, really.
So what made you go into photography?
So when I was at high school, I wasn't the best person at high school. I didn't really turn up most of the time, to be fair.
Okay.
But no, they found that a way to actually get me to sort of stay in high school was to get me to help out with school events. Like my school at Queen Anne threw a lot of sort of concerts, and they had lots of events that would go on in the school halls, usually music events. So they got me in to help with that, and then I ended up getting chucked a camera and they were like, take pictures. I was like, oh, okay. And it was this big thing that I didn't know what half the buttons did. I just knew that it was a button that you press and it took a photo.
That was was that a school camera?
It's a school camera, yeah. It's
a fancy camera for a high school.
Oh, it was old though. It was
I'm surprised that my school had disposables.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone listening is a photographer, this thing was ancient. This was only like 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sony A300 and it was terrible. It was like a brick. It was a brick.
For non-photographers, what does that mean?
It's just a brick. It's like big clunky thing, but I kind of loved it at the same time because it was so basic.
Okay.
Like it let you take control of everything, but it was really basic and
mm-hmm.
down to the bare minimum. So it kind of you weren't fascinated with all these settings that you have now. Like now I've got a big fancy camera that I've got tons and tons of settings on that realistically never really use. Whereas that thing just had what you needed and that was it. So it was kind of good because it was a good place to start with because you haven't got all these things that you can play about with and distract you.
Yeah. How old were you when you were chucked to the camera?
Either 15 or 16, I think. Yeah. I might be longer ago than I thought, actually. Yeah, maybe a bit longer than 5 years. It's scary. Anyway.
So, 15-year-old Stuart roaming around school events, taking pictures.
And then half of them turned out really badly. So I was like, yeah, I should probably figure out how this actually works.
Where did the photos go?
They just got used to it in the school, so they got put in newsletters. I think they got used on the school website as well. But I did notice that, because I'm quite... I like technical things.
Right.
Like, before I was into photography, I was into computers, like, a lot. And I still am, like building computers and stuff like that. But then it was kind of the same technical aspect, because it's photography, while it is an art form, it's also kind of a science as well, because you've got to deal with your f-stops, your ISO and your shutter speed. You've got to deal with trying to freeze the motion or create motion blur, control your depth of field, and you've got to kind of know what all these settings do and you've got to juggle them, because if you change one, you've got to change the other.
I know what shutter speed is.
Well, it's the exposure triangle. So you've got your ISO shutter speed and your aperture, which controls the actual overall exposure, which is the brightness of the scene. It's like a balancing act, because if you change one, it affects everything else.
Okay.
So it's like, I like that, because it's juggling. So you've got to compromise somewhere. That you can't get everything you want, usually. You've got to kind of compromise somewhere. Unless you can control the light, obviously. I think that's why I like photography.
Because it's all technical.
It's just, yeah, lots of technical.
It's
yeah.
not just about grabbing something and just winging it.
Yeah. And it probably shows as well, that's the aspect of light, because you'll probably see if you go into the Five Creative website in the article section,
mm-hmm.
I've got a series of articles about understanding how cameras work. A photographer does not need to know this stuff. It's just interesting. It's like how sensors work, the actual science of it and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm a bit of a geek that way.
That's not a bad thing to be. So were you still in high school when you started learning about these things? Because obviously you sound very knowledgeable.
Hey.
Which sounds like it's not a 15-year-old's worth of research.
Yeah, so I originally started by going off and sort of watching YouTube videos and reading books and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a media coordinator at the school that I was sort of working alongside to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And he helped me out quite a bit with it to start with. But then I kind of got past his skill level, and then he was like, okay, well, you're going to have to kind of figure something out yourself. Then I kind of went off and I was watching YouTube videos from Jared Poland. Jared Poland is quite a big one. And Matt Granger, those sorts of guys. Took me a couple of years though, and then I found Carol Taylor, who is my main influence, because he's a commercial photographer. And his style very much influences my style. And you can actually, if you look at his work, look at my work, you'll be able to see some similarities. They're not the same,
mm-hmm.
but there's similarities. Because his stuff's really clean, simple, and just cut down. It's like gradated backgrounds with just really simple stuff. It's not complicated. There's not big arrangements. Yeah. Kind of like stuff like that.
Okay, so what was after school? Did you go into college and do photography, or
so I stayed on for fifth year. I did have the option of, I was kind of debating whether to stay on for 6 years, because I could have potentially done photography at high school.
Mm-hmm.
But photography in high school, they need you to have another art subject, and I've been artistic, but I've never been like drawing artistic.
Yeah.
Never been able to. I can't draw for anyone. I can doodle, things, but I make a mess. But I can't draw. So that was out of the question. So that's why I went to NC in photography,
right?
Which is where I met Caitlin, and then I went on to the HND as well.
If you've not listened to the previous podcasts,
yeah,
Caitlin spoke about you during her podcast,
yeah.
And both of you had a chat about Five Creative.
We're linking everything together, yeah. Aren't we?
Shows that there's a good working relationship going.
The heater buddies.
So, college, and then...
Yeah, to college. I'm out of college now, and then I'm working.
Full-time photographer?
No, I'm... honestly, it's a difficult market.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for any photographer, really, to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just sort of dealing with sort of families, because people don't really have the money these days to just go, well, I want a photo shoot with the kids, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then with commercial photographers, businesses get sort of business relationships with photographers.
Yeah.
So once they find the photographer they like, they usually stay with them and they don't change and they never look elsewhere. So getting clients, that's the most difficult part. Keeping clients is difficult, but getting them is more difficult, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that why you like working with businesses more than like...
Yeah, I mean, with businesses tell you what they want and they're a bit more clear about things. They're more demanding, I'd say, but they know what they want and they know how to tell you what they want. Whereas families and that sort of thing, they can be a bit difficult to work with at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a whole different skill set in itself, and that's not a skill set I've got, is dealing with sort of families.
So as a photographer, would you say that you prefer being given like a...
a brief, because I know quite a lot of photographers, yeah. and they hate that. They would prefer someone to come in and go, I kind of want this sort of thing.
Yeah. I like a bit of direction. Typically, what you'll get is you'll get like a mood board.
Yeah.
So most businesses will have some form of marketing department or mm-hmm. have a marketing executive or something like that. That'll sort of draw up what they're wanting. So you'll get the actual product. Let's say it's a lot of my stuff's bottles of alcohol, because why not? So let's say it was a bottle of vodka that they were wanting a photo of. So they'd say, we want this, and then they'd say, well, what are we wanting for everything else? Well, the product is vodka, so maybe ice would be nice.
Okay.
And then blues and whites are nice to go along with all that. Because you wouldn't really put green with the vodka. So they'll give you, like, indications as to colours.
Okay.
And then they might then also go out and do a Google search for different images of vodka and present you with a mood board, which is just lots of different examples. And then, for the most part, they'll ask for a consultation. And then the photographer, I'll discuss it with them. So that's usually what will happen. But in certain situations, you will get exactly, like, we want this. And they'll give you a drawing. And you've got to get it.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'm
a bit more free-flowing. I quite like a bit more free-flowing there.
Like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. I like to know what they want, but also don't like to be told that I can't do something.
Would you ever... Because I suppose there's some businesses out there who think they want something, but actually if you gave them, like, okay, I've given you this, which is what you said you wanted, but I have this as well.
Yeah, so that's I've never done that.
No.
But from what I've heard, it's very common for photographers to do that, is they'll do what they want, and they'll do what the client wants, and then they'll show the client what they've done, and the client wants that.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, someone in the marketing department that doesn't do photography,
mm-hmm.
isn't going to know exactly what's going to work as best as well as a photographer's going to know, because they know how things react with light and what works. They'll have some idea, but not as much as a photographer would have, I don't think. Depending on the photographer, obviously.
I was about to say, I thought I had basic knowledge of photography, and then you started speaking, so I feel like I'm a 5-year-old in photography.
The thing with photography is once you understand the exposure triangle, which is just your ISO, shutter speed, and your aperture, you're ready to go. And then everything else is just put the cherry on top, basically.
So, from from college to kind of now, do you think your photography style has changed?
I wouldn't say since college. No, I think I've found my style now. I think when I started in college, I hadn't found my style. Yeah, because I'd done quite a lot of portraits, actually. That was the first time I was really doing it at college, was portraits.
Which was linked to what you were doing in high school.
Yeah. But that was... College was the first time that I'd actually been in a studio environment with studio lights and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really got into the portrait side of things. But then, after seeing the sort of Carol Taylor stuff and looking at the sort of commercial stuff, I realised the actual power that you can get from using studio lights. And it sounds really sad, but it's really fun to play about with lights and move things about and
I get that.
Play about with it. It's all really fiddly, usually.
Yeah, I do jewellery, and someone bought me this tiny little white box with an LED light on it. I can't photograph jewellery, so I've mentioned this to you before, if you have tips on jewellery and how to photograph metal without you getting a big massive flash.
Yeah. There is an upcoming article about that.
Someone bought me this tiny little, like, it's the size of, like, my foot box. And that helps with some things.
Yeah.
And then other things, it just makes that flash spot even bigger.
Yeah.
And even more kind of obvious.
Metal's really difficult, though. Metal's really difficult.
Yeah.
Even for good photographers, metal's difficult to work with. Doesn't even matter if you've dealt with one ring, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you move to a different ring, it's a different shape.
Yep.
The light reacts with it differently. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Good to start from scratch. They have the same basic principles, but you've got to rejig everything. You've got to... It's a lot of fiddling about for a long time to get things right with metal.
So, what's your favourite project?
I'd say it was this one that Caitlin actually helped me with this. It was at college with fish tanks.
Fish tanks?
I love the fish tank. Miss that fish tank.
Tell me about the fish tank.
So I saw this project that someone had done online, where they basically get like a seamless background to bring it all the way down, and they like reflect through the bottom of a fish tank, and it's a fish tank over the top with space so you can see up through it, and it basically makes it so the kind of, it's difficult to describe, the water kind of looks a bit metallic if you use like a grey backdrop. And if you put like a dark yellow background, you can make it look like almost like liquid gold, or with other one, it can look like liquid silver. It's really cool looking. And then what you do is you simply splash things into it, and you take, yeah, also there's a photo I took that's cringily called Prosecco Splash, which is a Prosecco bottle that's been dunked in it. Probably not the best product for it, because Prosecco is not really the sort of thing you dunk in water, and it's not really refreshing. Well, I don't really know, I don't really drink Prosecco, but I don't really think it's one of these sort of refreshing drinks, that sort of thing, and it's not really high market, but it's a cool photo. There was a few, it's difficult working with water, because everything moves. Water's a nightmare.
It's difficult to not smash the fish tank.
Oh, and it's difficult to not smash the fish tank as well. Caitlin's got a good point. Yeah, there's a few near misses.
See, when you were talking about a fish tank and a Prosecco ball, they're not that small and they're not that light.
Yeah.
And so that's all glass. That went into my head was, how many takes did it take to smash the fish tank? Or crack it?
Fish tank never got smashed.
How big was the fish tank?
The fish tank never got smashed, but it did go missing.
It went missing.
A big, it was a 50 litre probably. 50 litre fish tank.
How can a 50 litre fish tank
I think I
disappear?
Left at college, but then it just disappeared, didn't it?
You left it at college and they asked me at least 5 times, did you want it? And I asked you and you said no.
Oh, right.
And then you turned
so someone
around,
claimed it.
You turned around one day and went, oh, where's that fish tank? And I went, in the bin.
So someone claimed it.
They threw it in my fish tank. I'm devastated.
You did get in a lot of trouble for it though.
I got in a lot of trouble with that fish tank. Right. There was another time that I had, remember that massive bit of glass I had? I had a massive sheet of glass, like bigger than a normal window, like a massive bit of glass. And I would be putting coloured bits of paper under it, and you get a reflective surface where you can, looks really cool. But there was one day that I picked it up just from one side, and I never thought, this is a heavy bit of glass. And then it couldn't take the weight, and it just shattered everywhere.
We used to have those big massive bits of glass for like printing.
Yeah.
And we would have like tape around the edges so that like you weren't likely cut.
But no, that's what I did as well. After I smashed it, there was bits that were still surviving. I just put tape around it.
Yeah.
Got in a lot of trouble for that. Yeah, suspending lights over water. College staff don't like that.
So that was your favourite project?
Yeah.
With all its dangers.
I think the college were glad to be rid of me because I'm dangerous.
Sounds like you push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Which isn't always a bad thing.
I always wanted to throw paint over someone in the studio, but they wouldn't let me do that.
I remember the photography studio at Hull Beast.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember walking in and it wasn't what I expected. I expected like a big white room.
Yeah, it's really dark and dingy.
Yeah, and then it had, when I walked in, it had like loads of different
materials
and screens, and I was just like,
yeah.
So it's like a haberdashery shop.
Yeah, oh, it's great, I love it.
What would be your top tip for photography? Or any specialism?
Yeah, I'd probably say you never know everything. There's always more that you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Always more that you can sort of look up and try. And you've all, it's like a lot of the time you'll get to a certain skill level and you'll be like, yeah, I'm comfortable with this. I can do what I want to. You know, I can go to that event. I can take that photo. And you're blinded by your own hubris and you just think that, yeah, I'm fine. I don't have anything else to learn. But then you kind of, you need to get over that and then realise that you're never going to know it all, but you can try. So yeah, I think you should always be looking to learn more about what you're doing, because someone's done what you've done before.
Yeah.
Someone's done more than what you've done before. It's just you're trying to collect all that knowledge and execute it in your own way, but you never know everything, is what I'd probably say.
So never be too proud.
Yeah. Never. Don't be blinded by your own hubris, because it's a big mistake.
Cool. And we'll put all your...
That was deep.
Yeah, it was. Put all your links to your websites and Five Creative and Facebook pages and all that. We'll put it on the info and the podcast.
Great.
And that's it.